You guys like that music?
I think it's okay.
What's it got, like a little bit of an island vibe? I think Wes could go along with Wes's look right now. I don't know. Is that like a Miami Vice look, or is it like?
I like it. I just want to know where you got it.
Pre-Heath Ledger, Joker.
Yeah, it's a mix between Miami Vice, golf polo, and Urban Cowboy. You know,
we can't see the chain. The mic is blocking the chain. There we go. Oh, yeah. See, that just completes it right there.
All right. Yeah.
Like a Sweet Tart pack is kind of what I'm thinking also.
Yeah. Sweet. Well, hey, man, I can lean into Sweet Tart pack. You can just start calling me Wesley Sweet Tart.
Oh, boy. Look.
That's cool.
What is that? What brand is that shirt?
Up Saint. Mm. Yeah, it's like a new. Well, here, speaking of the power of the written word,
are they doing pop-up shops and like?
Nah, bro. I saw it in GQ. I saw an ad in GQ magazine.
I was gonna say,
and I looked it up, and I thought, you know what?
It's like stretchy. You walk outside.
I went to lunch with my car. Girl. I took a little,
you know, used car or something. You know, like,
oh, you would know all about it.
I would. You got your Richard Hudson starter set on. Yeah,
I ain't got three gold chains on and a pinky ring.
You gotta get pinky ring. Shit, that's what my dad got me for graduation, was a gold nugget pinky ring.
Damn, that's nice.
Did you say thank you? Huh? You should have said thank you, sir. Damn.
What is on the shirt? What is on the shirt? Give us a
little flowers or something.
Yeah, little flowers.
Yeah.
Okay. You got pineapples. Be like, yeah.
Nah, I'm not in. No. I don't need that drama in my life. No. I mean, I like it, man.
I have my favorite swimsuit. Lisa, this is a funny story, actually. Lisa bought me this swimsuit. Yeah, and it had pineapples on it.
You don't wear guys don't wear swimsuits.
Swim trunks.
Thank you.
And I, you know,
I don't even know who I'm working with anymore.
I was not up to date on what's going on with that.
Pineapple?
Wore those to the resort in Mexico, which is kind of like those resorts in Mexico are like a swinger haven. Yeah. And here I am with pineapples all over my shoulder. And it was my 40th birthday. So needless to say, it was an interesting day. And
people are giving all the way across the pool, like, what's up?
I'm not allowed to wear those anymore.
People either really liked you or they like ran from you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
No, they ran his direction.
Very polarizing. Very polarizing. Yeah.
I think I'd be in for swinging as long as the other couple left their husband at home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
No, I'm serious. No, I'm joking. Not really.
Wow, Wes, your shirt just let us down.
This is not what I mean. Listen, I was trying to dress nice to go to lunch with my wife, and here we are in the throes of some completely off-color conversation. We got a big show today.
I'm bringing you a bucket hat and some white sunscreen for your nose to Indy, and you're wearing that to the race
with that shirt.
Yeah, I'll wear this shirt to the race, but I'm not wearing.
Bucket hat.
Whatever else you
say. What do you mean?
Bucket hats are in right now.
Yeah.
Bucket hats are out.
You probably saw it in GQ magazine, right?
And you weren't out in the sun again this weekend, were you? This is just, we need new lighting.
I don't know how you can avoid it with 110.
We got to get you, we got to get your light tuned up because I know you're not always.
He's pretty red.
I didn't try. I mean, I haven't tried to get in the shade at the NHRA race. I went to Brainerd.
You probably it's smart. You match the little live, the color of the live thing on our screen. Very smart. Man. Very smart.
You need to start looking for other employment options. Yeah. All right. Let's roll the deal.
I like today because we just didn't talk about my forehead only. So it was nice to move it around.
Yeah. Let's switch back.
If you ever need shade, just get under Mike's forehead.
Yeah. Or just, that's right. It is basically like a solar panel.
So. Oh, my goodness.
He just charges it all times. All right.
I'll charge your phone up.
Roll the intro. Now I'm getting frustrated.
Okay. He's getting frustrated.
Listen, I've never had any problem expressing my opinions, but what we're doing here is bigger than that. These are conversations that need to be had in an unfiltered way. Drag racing's all I've ever done. It's all I care to do. I respect the history. I appreciate how far we've come, but I want more for this sport, and I'll fight for it. It's uncut. It's unfiltered. This is the show of shows. The biggest names in drag racing. No holds barred. This is the Great American Motorsport. Drag racing. Prove me wrong. I'll wait. Hey gang, Wes Buck here, Drag Illustrated Magazine, checking in. It is Wednesday, August 23rd, 2023. What's up? How you doing? Thank you so much for joining us. As always, the Wes Buck Show is brought to you by way of our friends at Stroud Safety Equipment, Redline Synthetic Oils, Flow Racing, Aeromotive Fuel Systems, and Racers Club. Thank you guys so much. Remember, click like, click share, click subscribe. Help us spread the gospel of drag racing. We really, truly cannot do this without you. It takes all of us. It takes all of us talking about this stuff day in and day out. I mean, that's literally the modus operandi of success in this modern world we live in, where there's so much noise, so much chaos, so much going on at any time. We got to make sure drag racing is a part of that conversation. Wild weekend in the sport of drag racing. We're fresh off the NHRA Lucas Oil Nationals in Brainerd, Minnesota. Brainerd International Raceway. I was lucky enough to go spend a couple of days at the racetrack up there, so we'll be sure to talk about that. We also have big news from the Skag Power Equipment Pro Superstar Shootout. We have announced our lineups for Pro Stock, Top Fuel, Funny Car, every big name in the sport right here today. We're going to talk about all these guys and kind of break down these entry lists and what it represents, what it means. What else is going on? We're a couple days away. Well, a few weeks away from the PDRA's return to Darlington Dragway. Of course, we're going to talk about that. All sorts of happenings in the sport of drag racing. So thank you guys for being here. We appreciate it. Without any further ado, I'll introduce my cohorts here on the Wes Buck Show, the ones and onlys, Mike Carpenter, JT Hudson. What's up, fellas?
We doing good? No, I got to switch that. Yeah.
I did not get sunburn. I mean, I don't know. I can't get any less red than this. Like, I can mess with the lighting, I guess, but I don't even feel like I'm red. I feel like I'm where I want to be. Right about where I want to be. So, hey, real quick, guys, the title of today's show, the caption right there in front of you, can we throw the biggest drag race of all time? And I think, to be honest with you, I think this is like kind of a cumulative or like an overall conversation, because I want to talk about what a month in Bradenton Motorsports Park next spring is going to look like. The biggest Nitro Pro Stock drag race of all time, Top Fuel Funny Car Pro Stock. 3 weeks later, the biggest pro mod race of all time. Can we do it? I mean, what do you guys think about this whole situation? I mean, that, I know I'm kind of putting us out there and I'm going out on a limb, and everybody gets up in arms when Wes talks about biggest ever, greatest ever, all these things. But what else am I supposed to say? I mean, I know what I'm going to try to do next spring is that's put on the biggest drag race of all time. And I think that we would be, I don't know, accepting defeat on day one if that wasn't the mindset. Do you guys agree?
Yeah, I think that's what you've got to do. I mean, no matter what you're doing, right? You got to aim high, and just from events in the past and what we've done in the past, and the lineup that this is going to be. I mean, I don't see why not. To be honest with you,
it's a lot of pressure, right? But I think we've got the tools to do it, and A big part of that is the lineup, which we announced yesterday and today, literally minutes ago. That's why we're running a little bit behind here, because we had to make sure that got out. But it's I think the big question when we started doing this, can we get all the big names there? Is everyone in on this? And yesterday and today, I think we proved that.
The people you work with, too. You know, like
it is, man.
It's the company. Everybody,
they say,
yeah, everybody believing in the same thing. You know, it just takes a few people to run it. So,
yeah. And that's what we've seen. We've seen all these big names. I mean, behind the scenes, I think that's been the coolest thing, is seeing all these guys that have worked together maybe here and there, and they obviously run in the same circles, but to all swim forward in the same direction to make this the biggest drag race of all time, hopefully, then I think that's been the coolest part of it.
I mean, I think part of the thing that everybody gets a little bit twisted is, our definition, your definition, everybody's definition of biggest
is different because we're not looking to, it's not about car count. I think that this is something that we can talk about. Do you guys, what's your take on this? Because it's something that I feel strongly about, that it feels like in a lot of ways, there is this belief system that has permeated drag racing for the last however long, many, 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 many years, maybe many decades, where the success of an event is tied to how many cars are entered. And while I certainly appreciate that and what it represents, like, because it's absolutely a metric you should use, right? Like, it's a KPI, key performance indicator. Car count matters, don't get me wrong. But I do think that we have maybe trended a little bit in the wrong direction as a sport, thinking that that's the only, like, that's the pass fail. Do you have 500 cars? Do you have 400 cars? Do you have 700 cars? And a lot of track sanctioned series promoters hang their hat on car count. And that's really not, in my opinion, the only way to do it. Do you guys kind of, Mike, I'll throw it to you. Do you recognize kind of the point I'm trying to make there? Because I admit that it's a little bit of a polarizing notion.
Yeah, I mean, I think it comes down to, that's like the universal yardstick. We can all, you know, relate to that, because every event, no matter what type it is, sportsman, pro, the big money bracket races, they all can kind of go back to that. But we're looking at it from a different perspective. We're actually going to control and constrain our car count and limit it by invite only, so that we can put on the best show. I think you said it before, we can't tell a story if we don't know the cast. And I think that for us, it's about the lead up to the event and telling that story every day between now and the first week of February, rather than opening the gates. We don't know who's coming. We have an idea, but you're going to have some no-shows or some surprise show-ups to where you're not able to accurately prepare from a media standpoint. And that's how we look at everything, which I think is different than a promoter standpoint and from a racer, you know, the big money bracket racers, which I feel like are racers putting on racers or putting on races for other racers, the way they see fit. I think everyone's got a different perspective on it.
It's a tough thing overall, because I certainly think that there's some value to getting tons of people on the property, right? Like, if you, I think a lot of sanctions and series, they look at that as a way, it's almost like a marketing tool. Like, hey, how many racers can we get here? Because they're all going to bring 3 to 5 people with them, or whatever their, you know, individual little metrics are. And there's, I understand it there. I can make sense of it for sure. But I do think that controlling the cast is a really big part of what we're doing at the Pro Superstar Shootout and the Drag Illustrated World Series of Pro Mod. Those are two events that have already, within a relatively short amount of time, become like a who's who, right? It's a C and B scene type of thing. And we talked about this, Mike. I got to throw this to you, buddy, because you, whenever you, we were kicking around names for this event, you told me it should be the Superstar Shootout. And I thought, you know what, I don't, and we're laboring over it. We're going back and forth. And you go, this should be a career defining moment, being involved in this event. This should be the thing that puts you over as a superstar in drag racing. And if we, and I agree, obviously that's the name we ran with. That's the logo. That's the look, feel of this whole thing. But to your point, if it's come one, come all, I mean, I don't know how many times we can talk about this, and it's tough. I mean, you lose that if it's just, the gates are open and anybody who's anybody can show up and be a part of this. I can't really identify another form of professional motorsports or professional sports where that's the case, right? I mean, that doesn't really, I mean, I see a comment here. Like, if you want a big show, why restrict it? Let all run. That I understand the mindset there. But when you do that, what you do is you get 20, 30 cars that really don't belong there. Because what, in my opinion, and I'm not trying to call out this particular guy, but the same group of people that will beat us up to let everyone run will be the same group of people that beat us up because we ran until 5 o'clock in the morning and had 47 oil downs because there was a whole bunch of teams there that weren't ready for that moment. And it's tough for me because we operate in this industry, right? Which it's like a little bit conservative, right wing leaning. It's kind of blue collar, rough around the edges. Yet here we are wanting to institute participation trophies. Everybody gets in.
There's a little bit of a what do you call it? I can't think of the word, but basically when I see
hypocrisy,
big show, yeah, well, no, like, I don't know. I can't think of it right now, but big show. Okay. We're going to put on a big show. But to me, if you have a big race one come all, there's a good chance it's not a great show. And if you have a show that you're trying to put on by car count, it may not be that big. It's kind of like, I don't know, concerts. Let's think about concerts. Okay, you go to a festival, right, that's got, like, you know, the posters. It's got like the big headliners, the two big names at the top. Then the next row down is they're a little bit smaller. And the next row down, they're a little bit smaller. Then there's like 400 band names in fine print. And this is the festival. But everybody's there to see those first couple of names. And you go to like a Taylor Swift. She has what, like one or two opening acts? I don't know. Taylor Swift, any of the big names that are out touring right now, they're not a festival, but those are the biggest shows because of everything else that surrounds it. So to me, you can't really have the two. You can have a big race.
Well, and that's the thing, is it's like we're not trying to be everything to everybody. Right. Like,
but you sacrifice the show, is what I'm saying.
But just think about those concerts. You know, like, they don't have to worry about technical difficulties from let's say you book this local band that comes in and they wreck the stage for 2 hours. So you have to wait. You know, so now your main show doesn't even get to come on until way late and everybody's gone, you know. But that's something that drag racing has to deal with. So, I mean,
you have to be very careful with that. And back to the name thing, we tossed around some names, and just like our, you know, having been around this our whole lives, what was the first thing we started talking about? Winter this or snow that, or off, you know, we started thinking, because pretty much all the big races, if you think about them, are named after the time of year. It's the winter nationals, it's the fall nationals, summer it's nationals. The summer nationals, it's
the spring nationals,
it's this and that, and they've always been determined by like the time of the year or whatever. And if you think about it, or at least what I said at that time, was something to me that stuck out about World Series of Pro Mod is that when people wear that World Series of Pro Mod shirt or say that they got to compete in the World Series of Pro Mod, that instantly stands out compared to it was the Winter Nationals, which is okay, great. So it was like in the winter, like what made that special? We know, but not everyone outside the sport or a newcomer may know. But if you say World Series of Pro Mod or you say Superstar Shootout, as soon as you say that, you know, you kind of feel I am a superstar because I was involved in this event, or I am of World Series caliber because I was in the World Series of Pro Mod.
Yeah, I mean, it's personally, I feel, because here's the thing, is there's room, I said this a lot over the weekend, is that I believe we're operating in an and industry, not an or industry. This is an industry where there's a lot of room for different things to coexist. And I'm not saying that this is for everyone, right? I mean, it really isn't. It's not for everyone. There are plenty of places to go race right now at a high level. I mean, if you have a nitro car, you can go run 22 different NHRA national events, right? You can go run a slew of different Funny Car Chaos events. You know, there are a slew of independent promotions that happen across the country. There's all sorts of match racing opportunities, etc. That's not what this is for. This isn't where you go earn your stripes. This is where you go once you have earned your stripes and your phone rings and you are asked to participate in this monumental event where entertainment property is really, really, really important, right? I mean, we need to be able to run a concise show that happens in a set period of time, and you really lose you lose control really quickly. I mean, you can have the best cars in the world and have the race go awry in a hurry, right? Oh, yeah. It doesn't take much, but it's literally, it's very important for us to try to usher in a new era for the sport of drag racing to eliminate some of those things. I mean, it really is. I mean, and it's not at all about being a hypocrite. It's about knowing your place.
Yeah, what's your
knowing
what's your
that
response?
There are levels to this stuff.
What's your response to that?
I want to say something here about that. You know, like, sorry, it's elite saying we want to race and low budget guys aren't welcome. Like, this is the superstars of the sport. This is the pinnacle. This is something that you're going to want to work for or get into. This is it's the world's, like, the World Series.
It's the best of the best.
Yeah, it's the best.
And I don't understand. I mean, I'm telling you, this guy
is going to be welcome.
No,
because it is the best of the best.
Well, and who and where would you want us to get these guys from? So outside of really a handful of strong running independent cars and some regional guys in the fuel ranks, and out and same thing really in the pro stock ranks. I saw a comment the other day, or yesterday, when we released the pro stock list, which we're going to run through the list of all competitors. And they said, it's an elite versus KB race. Well, where would you want us to get these additional pro stock cars. There really are not any 500-inch pro stock cars sitting on the sidelines. There are no top or high-level Top Fuel or Funny Car teams sitting on the sidelines. You see some of these guys hit some of these races on the NHRA circuit, but when we're having a one-off high stakes, high entry, high payout, superstar event, that's who's going to comprise it no matter what you do. So I don't really understand that comment or where these cars are that everyone says we should open the doors up and let everyone in. Because if we did, there would only be a handful of those that would even meet that criteria.
And that's the thing is, because here's the deal. For the longest time, it's no secret. I actually said it on a podcast earlier that like Pro Modified's always been the focal point of my, like, that's my passion. Pro Mod Door Slammer drag racing as a whole is something that is near and dear to my heart, and it forever will be. I truly believe it is the future of our sport, and it is without doubt the universal language of drag racing. It is the only class in professional drag racing that is contested successfully around the world. But I've always had it in the back of my mind that if there was an opportunity, if the door opened to put on a Top Fuel or Funny Car race, I mean, we all got to know, like, we have to table our egos and table our own pride and recognize in drag racing, historically, the needle movers in our sport have been Top Fuel and Funny Car. So when the opportunity presented itself for us to be involved with a Nitro endeavor and have the opportunity to work with the professional racer owner organization, Pro, that was pretty much the catalyst for this. Because to remind everybody, there have been several efforts over the course of time to put together a competing little series or a competing event or blah, blah, blah. There's been a lot of effort to do that, but you don't get the buy-in from the big time teams that actually have the financial wherewithal and everything it takes to go be a part of an event like this. And so when we partnered with Pro to put on the Superstar Shootout in Bradenton Motorsports Park, February 8th, 9th, and 10th, 2024, I mean, that was, we wouldn't have done it without them. I mean, Mike, we talked about this a lot. Like, could we try to put on our own Top Fuel race? Absolutely. Could we try to put on our own Funny Car race? Absolutely. But do we want to do it without Tim Wilkerson, without John Forrest, without Robert Height, without Bob Tasca? I don't. I want to do it with those guys.
Well, and that pro awareness, PRO, Professional Racers Owners Organization, has been largely under the radar and unfamiliar to most of even the hardcore drag racing public.
Yep.
And to me, those guys in that organization and the people involved in it and the board that runs that are the ones that I think are benefiting the most from this event right off the bat, because it's raised awareness for this event for pro membership. And that is the requirement to be invited to this race. And I think that is now become a valuable thing. It's always been valuable, you know, but it's been
never
behind
more so
the scenes.
Than
now. Now it's a public, this is like their coming out party, in my opinion, that they're going to demonstrate the values of pro membership, show what comes along with that, and use this really as a tool to grow that, which I think is also great for the sport and will empower the sport moving forward. But it's
and pros kind of like
at the same time,
the NFL Players Association,
yeah,
right?
Yes,
looking out
that's
for
good.
The racer to, yeah. And then they're the middle guy in between the NHRA and then the racers, correct?
Yep, absolutely. Right.
But you can't be a member of the NFL Player Committee if you're not an NFL player, right?
I tried, and we can all talk about it
on Facebook all we want, but it's like the people that go that are full-time pro members are the people who we extended invitations to. And yep. that's just the way the world works. And I think sometimes it's easy to sit back and be an armchair quarterback and say what should be done and what you would do while enjoy it. It's great. And I love
it. And we're not defending. I feel like we're not in a defense position here. We're not defending it. We're just helping explain why the way it is. And I see a comment here. And I guess this relates to both pro stocks and fuel cars. The cars are out there. If you let them race, they will come. And that applies to a lot of classes. It does not apply to 500 inch pro stock and high level Top Fuel and Funny Car racing. When you're, especially in those classes where you're competing for 8 qualified spots.
No, and that's the thing is that there's a very limited inventory of NHRA pro stock car, 500 cubic inch pro stock cars. There is a very limited inventory of Top Fuel cars, Funny Cars on the planet Earth. I mean, it's a truce. It's a fact. This is a small group of people, and we have to do what we can to kind of help in every way that we possibly can. Our goal is to put on a very successful drag racing event, but have it be the bigness of what this event represents is kind of, I saw a comment from Drag Race Central a moment ago, and it was talking about how we've created more buzz for this event than 90% of other national events. No joke. And that's really the difference. That's where the bigness comes from. And that's the only point I'm trying to make is that, like, you guys know my UFC analogies, right? But like UFC 200 has the same amount of fights as UFC 295, right? But it's the people in those fights, right, that make it bigger or make it more significant than another. Does that make sense? I mean, it's like, hey, there's eight cards on the fight or eight fights on the card. It's not, it's more about who's involved. And I think that for me personally, to have the opportunity next spring to bring Steve, I mean, let's go through this list here.
We got the question, is it an eight or 16 car field?
Yeah. So let's start here real quick. Over the course of the last 48 hours, the team here at Drag Illustrated, in coordination with our cohorts at Pro and Skag Power Equipment and Bradenton Motorsports Park, have made the entry list for the forthcoming Pro Superstar Shootout public. And this is something, this is a different approach that we've had in the past. And just to be transparent with you guys, we threw a lot of different things around. Like, should we introduce everybody that's involved one by one by one? And to be honest, we really want to save that type of thing for World Series of Pro Mod. That event is largely defined by the invitation process and the exception of an invitation. And that whole song and dance really works well. And we want to leave that program alone. I think it serves that group of people very well. And we wanted to kind of make a big splash, not in terms of publicity here, but we wanted to demonstrate buy-in. And that, to me, is really the difference and the magic behind what's happening with the Skag Power Equipment Pro Superstar Shootout is the buy-in from the team. So in the last 48 hours, like I said, we've made it public, the Top Fuel, Funny Car, and Pro Stock drivers that would be involved with this event. I'm going to run through a list for you guys now. And to be honest, I'm going to preface this by saying I really don't know that I could have ever imagined a scenario where we would have this level of buy-in from this caliber of teams, but by God, it is here and things are happening quick, fast. And
I think you need to throw a one-liner behind each person's name.
I may well do that. Arguably the best driver in all of Top Fuel, Doug Coletta. Following that up, driver of the Coletta Motorsports, Coletta Air Top Fuel Dragster, a dear friend of ours here at Drag Illustrated, Sean Langdon, sportsman racer extraordinaire, one of the realest dudes on the circuit. Super excited to have him involved. Record holder of all record holders, two-time world champion Brittany Force, representing John Force Racing and Top Fuel, alongside teammate Austin Prock, who I think, based on our interview with him last summer during the NHRA US Nationals, we were actually invited to go spend the day at John Force Racing in Brownsburg, Indiana. Got to spend a little bit of time with Austin. This kid is the real deal. So happy to have Austin Prock and that Montana Brands Top Fuel Dragster involved with the Skag Power Equipment Pro Superstar Shootout. Holy moly, Leah Pruitt. I have argued before that she may well be the most visible Top Fuel driver of all time, maybe the most visible drag racer of all time. Excited to have her and Tony Stewart Racing involved with the Pro Superstar Shootout. We also have, of course, Tony Schumacher behind the wheel of Joe Maynard's Skag Power Equipment Top Fuel Dragster, Justin Ashley, Antron Brown, fresh off a win at the NHRA Lucas Oil Nationals in Brainerd, Minnesota. We're also going to have Josh Hart, Steve Torrance, Billy Torrance, Clay Milliken, Mike Salinas. This is an absolute who's who of Nitro drag racing right now. These are all the record holders, living legends, icons of our sport. And when we bring these men and women down to Bradenton Motorsports Park and put a couple of these bad boys side by side on a legendary strip of concrete and asphalt there, right to outside on the Gulf Coast of Florida, I honestly don't know what's going to happen.
Your shirt will be a good fit on that Gulf
My shirt
Coast.
will be a good fit.
It might be more handy south.
like a pocket on a shirt.
Might be more south Florida.
Bro, this deal is going to be absolutely bananas. And I think about the opportunity. Like, can you guys really, again, challenge you guys, close your eyes and imagine a world where Steve Torrance and Billy, Steve Torrance and Brittany Force roll through the water, roll through that shallow puddle there at Bradenton Motorsports Park. Can you imagine what that's going to look like, what that's going to feel like? I mean, if you think about the proximity to the action of the fans in Bradenton Motorsports Park, like, you're never going to have been able to get closer to nitro racing, high-level nitro racing, professional drag racing, than you will be able to have next spring at Bradenton Motorsports Park. In our funny car division, we have J.R. Todd, a former world champion, an absolutely fantastic ambassador for the sport of drag racing, John Force. Somebody pinch me. I've waited my whole entire life to put on a drag race where John Force is going to roll into the beams. Unbelievable. Robert Height of John Force Racing as well, of course, who's been a huge proponent of what we're trying to do here, a huge supporter. Matt Hagan, also a part of the Tony Stewart Racing operation. Skag Power Equipment's own Tim Wilkerson. Bob Tasca III, Alexis DeJoria, and that Bandero Tequila Funny Car. Paul Lee, Ron Caps, Blake Alexander, Cruz Pedregon, Chad Green, Dave Richards. Unbelievable lineup of Top Fuel and Funny Cars for the Skag Power Equipment Pro Superstar Shootout. To be honest, this moment, I truly believe it's not about how many cars are going to be there. It's not about the people. This particular group, Mike, JT, do you understand the significance of John Force, Brittany Force, Bob Tasca? These are the difference makers, the real deal needle movers that exist in the sport of drag racing. And they have cast their vote with their wallet. They have paid their entry fee. They are committed to the cause. And to be honest, I don't know that I could be any more proud. Like, I think we could mic drop it right there and just leave for the day. And we haven't even talked about Pro Stock because we have an incredible lineup for Pro Stock.
We got some cool stuff too. Like, we haven't finalized it yet. I don't think we can announce it, but we've got some cool stuff that is going to involve some of those names that you just heard and seen in a way maybe that we haven't seen it in a long time. And definitely for a long time, see it. John Force rolling through the water at Bradenton Motorsports Park. I mean,
really? You know, I mean, it's on for me.
But that's old school John, man. Old school John would have been there in a heartbeat. So getting back to his roots. And that is a cool thing. And I don't even know. We're going to get in trouble. I need like a list of things I can talk about and can't, because there's just some cool things happening. But one of the meetings we had where John was involved, and I could tell he was like going back to old school John and reaching back in the archives and remembering how he felt about events like this and some of the ones he participated in and how he built his career and got to where he is now. And I feel like, I don't know, we'll have to interview John and ask him about this, but I feel like that's how he sees this event. And it's kind of like at this point in his career that it's like going back to his roots. And I'm really excited to see that. And I think he's excited as well.
I tend to agree, man. I think that everybody is getting that's really, for me, this event and everything really that's happening in the sport of drag racing. Let's talk about this. The hottest stuff that are happening in the sport of drag racing right now, in my opinion, are really a reflection of our roots, right? Like, if you think about what Street Outlaws, No Prep Kings, amongst a plethora of things that have happened on the back of those particular segments of drag racing, I think it's really the nitty-grittiness of it. You know what I mean? It's real deal racers. It's people that know who they are and they're proud of who they are. We're not trying to be something we're not. And I think that that is something that has kind of infiltrated drag racing on a handful of different occasions. It's hard not to, right? You look and see what NASCAR is doing. You look and see what IndyCar is doing. You look and see what Formula One's doing. You pay attention to all these other motorsports. And I think it's easy to kind of get like try to shove a square peg in a round hole, be something you're not. And drag racing, it's the definition of a nitty-gritty motorsport. In my opinion, it's the gateway to all motorsports. It's the only motorsport where you can literally drive your car off the street and onto the racing surface and compete and win, right? Via a variety of different bracket racing categories, high school drags, all these different things that exist, the NHRA street car, different variations. there's something special about this sport of drag racing, and it was built on the back of outlaws and badasses and people with their shirts rolled up and grease on their hands. And I think that this is an opportunity for us to lean into our identity instead of like try to reinvent ourselves. We're going to take the fastest, the meanest, nastiest drag racing cars on the planet Earth with the best drivers alive, and we're going to go to a Saturday night drag strip and let it all hang out.
And that's the key night. Too.
Nice.
We're going to run the majority of these laps down the drag strip are going to be at night, which is going to be badass.
Dude, I literally can't wait. I mean, I just think about sending a couple of these things on Friday night under the lights at Bradenton. And oh, my goodness, it's going to probably be, what, 65 of an evening? I got to tell you, man, I wouldn't at all be surprised if we see a 340 mile an hour trap speed. And I wouldn't at all be surprised if we see a 300 mile per hour, eighth mile trap speed. I think both of those records get crushed at the Pro Superstar Shoot.
Drag Racing Central says, isn't Pro the same group that hates racing at night?
So I'll dive in there. I don't think anybody hates racing at night. I think what people hate is racing at night without adequate lighting. So yeah, we are working on a partnership right now that is going to allow us to light Bradenton Motorsports Park up like the 4th of July. It's going to be high noon of an evening. And we'll still have all the magic that comes from racing at night, but we're going to have adequate lighting because that's something that's near and dear our heart is the safety of our racers. We talk about this all the time, is that it's one thing that I think gets kind of glossed over by our entire sport, especially those at the high up positions, is glossing over the courage that is required to do this and the danger that exists out here. I actually think, you know, I guess if we're going to have like a fairly transparent conversation, I think we saw a little bit that of that on display Friday night at the NHRA Lucas Oil Nationals when the Top Fuel teams elected collectively not to run their Friday night qualifying session there in Brainerd. And I think to me, here's the thing. The track was clearly an issue. Very few cars, if any, made it down the left-hand lane after that catastrophic oil down that took place early in the session, early in the funny car session. And I think sometimes it's a product of just the rinse and repeat nature of our sport. It's just we do it over and over and over again, and it's hard not to get desensitized to the gravity of the situation. But the fact of the matter is these men and women are strapping themselves into bombs that go weigh 2,000 plus pounds and go 300 plus miles per hour, surrounded by concrete and poles and every other very bad thing. And I do think at times we have become a little bit, as a group, desensitized to the significance of that, putting drivers in danger, the cost associated with running these cars. And I think sometimes it's just like it's overlooked, like, oh, they're going to run no matter what. It doesn't matter. They're going to race no matter what. You kick open the gates here, they're going to come. And I think Friday night in Brainerd, we kind of saw a group of people say, you know what? We know better. We know that what makes sense and what doesn't. And it's a very interesting situation that we find ourselves here in 2023, to be honest, as far as professional drag racing is concerned. And that is one of the things that has been a big challenge for us early on, like, again, in the name of like transparency, I'll answer like any questions anybody has, but I think sometimes it's easy to gloss over how difficult these things are to do. Right. You're talking about, and I'm going to throw round numbers out there just so people understand, like, to get two massive boom trucks with a bunch of lights on them, show up at Brainerd, it's $50,000, right? Down at Bradenton, we're pouring asphalt. We're moving scoreboards because they're too close to the racetrack, or at least for our comfort level running these cars. I mean, that's another $50,000-$100,000. Like I think those things get glossed over, or they kind of are looked at like the cost of doing business, and they absolutely are. But I hope people realize that we are going to great lengths to make sure that we put on a safe race above all else. Like, we want to put on a big race. That's the title, right? That's the name of the game. We want to put on a big race. We want to sell a bunch of tickets. We want to create a bunch of excitement. We want to stir things up. But we definitely want to have a safe and competitive drag race. And I can't tell you guys, I mean, we're having meetings with helicopter companies so that if people understood how much goes into putting on an event of this magnitude, it's certainly not for the faint of heart. And I'm seeing things. Hopefully there's proper tech and scale and fuel. Absolutely. We would never do anything. Drag Illustrated, one of the functions of our business is we would never do anything here that would call into question the integrity of what we do. We partner with the best in the business when it comes to tech and rule enforcement. Our director of competition here at Drag Illustrated and our events is John Sears. And we will organize a team of people that he will oversee and he will lead to make sure that every car that goes down the racetrack under our watch is legal, is set up correctly, is safe, belts, so blah, 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 all the things that go with it. And those things are near and dear my heart. Like, there's all the shit we want to do, all the exciting stuff we want to do. It all matters nothing if the integrity of what we are doing is called into question. So anyways, it's an exciting thing, man. For me personally, it's an educational experience. Every one of these things, you get to learn a little bit, you meet new people, you find out the nuances of these different industries. And I love that stuff. I mean, I think we get ourselves in a whole lot of conference calls and a whole lot of meetings, but I do enjoy them. I enjoy learning about other aspects of this, of the operation of events. And I couldn't be more excited.
We have every conference call software downloaded.
Oh my
God. Everybody uses a different one.
Everybody does. Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
No. And personally, I think that racing at night is us again, leaning in to what we have to offer. I mean, I can't honestly imagine doing this race and not running a bulk of it under the lights.
Yeah. And I don't know. Maybe I'm, not aware of the situation as much as Drag Racing Central is when he's saying this, but I don't know that that's necessarily a pro decision not to run at night. I kind of feel like it's maybe pro and NHRA share that decision or what came about with that. I think maybe even in defense of that, it's about trying to keep the show contained in a reasonable time frame so that everyone gets out of there at a good time. They can do their whatever needs to be done after hours before the next day of racing. Like, it just, I think it comes down to containing the chaos. And when you do that 22 times a year, you have to do that. So I don't know that I'm necessarily bagging on that, but it is something that over the years we've in large part lost is seeing these cars at night. And I used to see them, you know, every race they were at night, you know, depending on time zones and what time of the year they were running. But we rarely see it, even at events I think were staples for night racing. So it definitely has changed into something that I personally would like to see come back.
And I can't wait for Saturday night. Just, you know, the eliminations on Saturday night. How long have I wanted that? I mean,
I've never understood. Thursday is going to be bad.
Well, yeah, but I'm just saying
Thursday and Friday, maybe.
They're going to finish in front of a huge crowd. And yeah. I think that's going to be awesome.
I agree. I mean, I think Saturday night is going to be especially interesting. And for me, and I've had this conversation a lot over the course, because I got to be honest, like while I was in Brainerd, man, and I got to tell you, Minnesota fans.
Every time I want to say Brainerd, I say Bradenton. It's like
my whole family does. My kids do. Like, didn't you go to Bradenton this last weekend? And it's like, no, I went to Brainerd this past weekend. But I got to tell you, the Minnesota drag racing fans show up in force. Driving around the zoo and just seeing what that event represents for that part of the country, it's unbelievable. I mean, every hotel sold out, every restaurant's busy. I honestly find it, that is a, if you have not been to the NHRA Lucas Oil Nationals, you have to go. because it is special. It's a little inconvenient to get up there. You've got to fly into Minneapolis for the most part and then drive 2.5-ish hours up to Brainerd International Raceway. But the facility itself is spectacular. The fanfare, the turnout, and their passion, like the fanfare there in Brainerd is unique because every fan that I bumped into, they're racers. Like, they're hardcore. If they don't drag race, they're snowmobile racers, or they're somehow ingrained in the sport. But I got to tell you, being up there, it was like my first experience recognizing that we've stirred some shit up out here. Like, we've really, really, really stirred some things
not
up.
Not in the zoo, JT.
No, not in the zoo.
Me and JT got to go to the zoo.
We got to go to the zoo.
Bro, yep. They had things on fire. They're
perfect.
It was, you literally would probably,
they would
A, J, never
JT
leave,
would be
B,
the king.
Die.
They had, would like, I could just picture them like carrying JT out on a throne, like, you know, on their shoulders, like the king of the
have
zoo.
Do you know King Julian from like,
I'm dead over in the corner.
Penguins of Madagascar. JT would be King Julian. They would be carrying him around on their shoulders, and it's like, nobody can drink as much as this guy. He's our leader.
Has anybody seen Mike? He's been in the hospital.
MU game. I don't even need tickets to the race.
No, well, and that's a funny thing, and I discovered that early on, man. There's a large percentage of people that buy tickets to the NHRA Lucas Oil Nationals and never see any meaningful drag race.
That's what we do at a lot of football games, really. I mean,
they're just there for the party. Hell, and yeah. It's so funny. The whole scene is electric and it's imaginable. It's really electric. I see a question here from Kevin Stevenson, and we need to maybe have Kevin just ask questions every week because he crushes it. But he says, have you guys gotten any good, bad feedback from the NHRA higher up since you announced the event?
That's where you were going. I derailed you. Sorry.
Yeah, no. And it's,
you get kicked off the line.
Yeah, I got kicked off the starting line. They made a big deal out of that. I don't know. It felt like I've got a hard card, restricted area access or whatever. And, but it's like
getting back to our roots.
You know what? It feels like a little bit of getting back to our roots. And that's the thing that frustrates me, because if I'm going to be totally honest, I believe this event helps NHRA. I really do. I believe that this event makes it fashionable to have a fuel car again. I think by a lot of our efforts, we've made it fashionable to race pro modified. I think that we've put so much emphasis on that style of drag racing for a long, 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 long time that I feel that's where most of the energy and momentum and excitement has been in drag racing for a while. And while there's certainly been great top fuel racing, I think it has kind of, there's been a disconnect, right? It's gotten so high end, so elite, that I think people maybe didn't feel as attracted to it as they once were. Obviously, if you have the opportunity, you're going to go see cars go 300 miles an hour, and you're going to be around these people and the header flames and hellfire and brimstone and everything else, superstars, John Force, all that. But it was like, there seemed, in my opinion, we can, if we do this correctly and we all work together, we can make it fashion racer to have that be a talking point, have that be a little bit more part of the mainstream, like the motorsport, the drag racing news world, than it has been in recent years, in my opinion. Mike, what's your take on this? Like, because it does seem like it's not, I mean, like, some of the biggest stars in our sport right now race No Prep Kings, race door cars. I mean, Stevie Jackson, I think he's one of the more marquee stars in our sport. He's a pro mod guy, and hell, he's been out of a car for 6 months or a year. So it's like, but he still manages to be one of the biggest needle movers in our sport. And I think that if we can put some energy and a renewed enthusiasm and a renewed pride and a renewed kind of mission behind fuel racing, I mean, this is the highest level of our sport, right? We need to be excited about this.
Daniel Affetato, he wanted to know, did you get removed from the track completely after announcing this race? And his concern is that they may have done it because you were wearing that shirt.
Well, I wasn't wearing this shirt. I was just wearing a black T-shirt. Wasn't trying to stand out or whatever. It was just interesting. I mean,
they did remove him from the facility. It's just off the starting line.
Yeah, which is maybe fine. A new policy. I do think it's a new policy or whatever, and I don't really have anything to do down there. It's fine, but I was just saying hi to a friend. Yeah, we're getting a lot of reaction out of the shirt. I don't know.
I mean, that's what do you expect? That's why you wear a shirt like that.
That's why you wear a shirt like Peacock. This. I'm trying to get some. You know what I mean? It's. I don't know, bro. It's. I truly believe that this event, if done correctly, I would like to see this bolster participation in the NHRA Camping World Drag Racing Series. Much like we've heard from Tyler Crossnow and the PDRA, right? Much like we've heard from John Mazzarana and the Northeast Outlaw Pro Mods. Much like we've heard from the NMCA and the Midwest Drag Racing Series. I honestly think the World Series of Pro Mod in the all the energy and effort that we put on who got invited to that race. I think there are teams out there that are competing in more events this year than they did last year because they want their phone to ring this fall, right? Or early next spring, and they want to get an invite to the World Series of Pro Mod, and they know that's not going to happen with their car sitting on Projacks 95% of the time. And I think that this could create a very similar situation in Top Fuel and Funny Car specifically, where you have a handful of these teams out there. Like, let's just use TJ Zizzo as a great example. Clearly a contending car, clearly a solid program, but his program's kind of built around quality over quantity. He chooses to run a handful of races and race them very competitively as compared to spreading himself too thin and trying to go to a bunch of races. My opinion, personally, is that my goal would be to see a guy like TJ Zizzo that goes to two races a year or a couple of races a year. Maybe he digs deep, finds some new partners, rings some phones, does some dial-in for dollars, makes some progress. And maybe in 2024, he runs six or eight races because he wants his phone to ring and get an invite to the Pro Superstar Shootout in the spring of 2025. And these racers will need to know that if your car sits on Projacks 11 months out of the year and you come out every once in a while when it's convenient, right? You're probably not going to be included in something like this. And we lose that if it's just a come one, come all thing. I want people to strive to be involved with these events. I want people to change their program. I want them to work harder, dig deeper, spend more, be more involved with the sport, go to more races. And that is we have to do what we're doing in order to achieve that, in my opinion.
Yeah, I completely agree.
But I mean, according to Shelby Haroldson, we're a joke, though. That's cool. That's fucking hilarious.
Let's go on. We haven't talked about the pro stock entry list yet, so let's
is another who's who. 18 cars accepted the call. Erica Enders, Troy Coughlin Jr., Aaron Stanfield, Bo Butner, Fernando Cuadra Sr., Fernando Cuadra Jr., Christian Cuadra, Mason McGahee, Greg Anderson, Dallas Glenn, Camry Caruso, Kyle Koretsky, Matt Hartford, Dave Connolly, Derek Kramer, Eric Latino, and Larry Morgan. So excited to have my old buddy Larry Morgan involved with the Pro Stock Shootout, driving behind the wheel of Mark Beaver's Hot Rod. This is some really, really good racers, some guys that haven't been behind the wheel in a hot minute. And again, I just speak to the buy-in, the enthusiasm from this group of people. To have 18 pro stock teams pre-enter this event, I think is extremely meaningful. Shows yet again the strength of this particular category that not too terribly long ago was on its deathbed. I mean, we were only a few years ago, pro stock was looking like it was on its last leg, and we may see this class go away. Here we are in midway through, well, beyond the midway point of 2023, and I think it goes without saying that pro stock is the healthiest category in NHRA professional drag racing. So huge shout out to all these teams. As has been well documented on social media, we have a large contingent of KB Titan race teams. We have a large contingent of Elite Motorsports teams. And personally, I'm very excited about that. That's a reflection of the situation that exists here in 2023. Those two teams field a multitude of the cars. There are some outliers. Excited to have them involved. But these are the teams that support the sport of drag racing, support the professional racers owner organization week in and week out, contribute to this movement, find ways to help, find ways to be good partners, and I couldn't be more proud of this group of guys. I mean, if we could, I mean, oh my gosh, if we could get some Larry Morgan versus Dave Connolly, I want to see Greg Anderson versus Erica Enders. I want to see Camry Caruso versus Erica. I want to see Dallas Glenn and TJ, or Dallas Glenn and Aaron Stanfield. That's one I really like. I think that that's a, it may not be like a legit rivalry because I don't know that there's any bad blood. I don't know anybody that doesn't like Dallas Glenn, but 00 Dallas is as real of the deal as they're really is in the sport right now. But man, there's just some great matchups. Kyle Kresge, Bo Butner, Matt Hartford, seeing Dave Connolly back behind the wheel. This is an exciting thing, man. We've got 44 of the toughest professional drag racing teams on the planet Earth headed to Bradenton next spring. And if that doesn't get you, excited, I'm not sure what will, to be honest.
Let's address some of the questions here. As far as the invites, it's not just the invitation. There's also a significant entry fee that is associated with these invites. So even, I mean, you know, we're not going to have every detail, but even if someone may have got an invite, there's also the consideration of the entry fee and how that affects their current program or what their plan is for next year. So it's not just a, you know, here's your invite.
And like we said before, and they have to be a member of pro. Correct.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they have to be a member of pro. And our main goal for the pro stock shootout was to get 18 cars to commit. We wanted to have qualifying be meaningful. That's something that we hear from fans, that man, it's got to matter. Qualifying has to matter. And I think that that's something that I agree with wholeheartedly, right? I want qualifying to be meaningful. So we had a target as a group to get to the 18 car mark. We're there now. And I mean, I see questions here, and a lot of it is just about being involved with the professional racer owner organization. That's where a lot of these, like Dave Connolly being involved, that's because he's part of the KB Titan conglomerate. He's a crew chief there. They paid for an entry as members of pro, and therefore he's able to get in. And that's really the bottom line. I mean, these are the teams that support the classes or support these sanctions and series week in and week out.
And I don't know how you would not be excited to see Dave Connolly back behind the wheel and Larry Morgan. That to me is more exciting than seeing some of the names that run every weekend, but just because that adds a special appeal to this event. And two guys that were a part of some of the most memorable races, staging duels, underdog wins, when it comes to Larry Morgan especially, but definitely I guess these guys are polarizing. But I'm excited to see guys like that come back off the sideline, well, not the sidelines, but back from behind the computer or the clutch can and back into the seat. So that's going to be exciting to me.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I guess we're just going to dive into answering questions here, but like Daniel Afato asked, has anyone declined? We actually haven't had anybody decline. $7,500 Charlie Betts to enter the pro stock shootout, and we're not bashful about any of those things. Like the one thing that we're especially proud of is this: where any money that's raised from racers goes back to racers, and they all, like, let's not get caught up in like what it costs to do this or whatever. It's very expensive. There's no doubt about it. There's no part of professional drag racing that's like affordable or reasonable or anything like that. Unfortunately, I mean, and that's just the name of the game right now. And I think that we have to, but that's part of this process, is to try to change the dynamic and create an environment where via television ratings, flow racing viewership, whatever the case may be, we find a way to generate a ton of money so that we can make it more manageable for these race teams, because that's the situation, right? That's the reality of professional drag racing right now in 2023, is that you, no matter how much you win, you're not going to offset your expense. You're just not. I mean, if you win every Top Fuel race this season, more than likely, you're probably still going to be upside down at the end of the year. And that's what I want to start changing. I want to find a way, by way of live streaming, by way of this group's collective. I mean, across these drivers that we just mentioned, there's over 6 million followers on social media. I mean, this group paints a wide swath. They have a lot of influence. And if we can all work together, you know what I mean? We've got to find a way to create an environment where racers can make some money going racing, or at least break even. Do you guys agree? I mean, that's the big problem that exists.
I think it always has been.
There's no pathway to making this thing make sense.
Race for peanuts. And, you know, as a professional driver, at the highest, you know, at the highest part of the drag racing, they should be racing for a lot of money. You know, it's just simple as that. Like once you reach the pinnacle in a sport, you should be getting paid something, you know, not just shelling out and writing checks, you know, left and right. I mean, really.
I mean, and that's what it is. We want to kind of tear down some of those walls, be a little more transparent with our racers, have more of an equally yoked relationship where they feel like we're being honest with them. We're keeping them in the loop. And obviously, we've seen it a million times before. They are the stars.
They're the stars, and there's no show without them. You know, I mean, I think that's something that's forgotten a lot.
The question Daniel Afato is asking is, wouldn't the sponsor deals help a touch too? Not sure they rely on just the wins, but I see your point. The problem is that most of these teams, unfortunately, aren't able to generate enough sponsorship to offset their expense. And a lot of the deals that a lot of the cars that you see out here, that's private money. I mean, there's only a handful of teams, in all honesty, that are really driven by sponsorship. I mean, they exist.
Or it's a B2B.
It's a B2B deal. It's like, hey, we'll sponsor your car if you buy X amount of product for us, or you use our service to X amount of extent. And that's really kind of
that goes for all motorsports.
It is.
Let's say that and be fair, because it's not just drag racing.
It's not.
A lot of the sponsors you see on your NASCAR and other forms of motorsports have gone that direction also. That's why you see like some oddball big name guy sponsored by oddball companies that you may have never heard of. It's a B2B deal.
Yeah. And you see that where they change sponsors throughout the season, right? They do
for sure,
a few races here with this company and a few races there with that company, or maybe they have some regional partners. And that's honestly, that's what it takes to be successful with this stuff at this point in time. You know, I mean, that's just, it is what it is.
It's not a lot of these, it's not the company's fault really. I mean,
no.
you think 20 years ago, you know, if you slapped your logo on the side of a car, you know, how else are you going to get that out there? So 20, 30 years ago, if your logo's on a car, you know, there's only a handful of channels that are aired to every household, you know, so they're seeing that logo on that car, where now information is just everywhere, right? Everywhere you turn, it's on your phone, it's on your computer, it's everywhere. So, you know, that logo on the side of a car doesn't necessarily mean as much in this day and age, I don't think.
No, agreed.
No, you have to do so much more
for these guys. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and I think that that's really the focal point of what we're trying to do here with our partners at Flow. Flow Racing has a massive subscription base and an ever-growing audience on social media and YouTube. And we want to, it's funny because I had this conversation while I was at the Music City Grand Prix, the IndyCar race in Nashville a few weeks ago with the CEO of the GT World Challenge. And he talked about how, like, just his kids and how viewing habits have changed so much. You know what I mean? It's like people, he called it appointment viewing. That ship has kind of sailed. Like my kids, I'm sure Mike, your kids, JT, your kids are the same. Like they're not like tuning in to something at 7 o'clock.
Yeah. My kids even go into a movie.
Everything's
like,
on demand.
They're like, you mean we have to be there like at a certain time and the movie's going to start? Or they're like, yeah. I'm like, yeah, it's not on demand, like every other aspect of your life.
And I think we have an opportunity here, instead of like resist the change that's happening in our world and fight against it, to just swim the same direction and go, you know what? Let's create 24-hour-a-day content. Let's create content that people can access anytime they want, not make them choose how they're going to consume it on their TV, on their phone, on their computer, whatever. Provide it to them across multiple platforms and let them tune in at their convenience. That's just the way of the world today. So my personal opinion is partnering with flowracing.com really changes everything. It gives us the opportunity to access a worldwide audience, right, in a high quality manner, and control the narrative, control the messaging, right? We can pick and choose what goes on the screen. I experienced that personally this year, is like partnering with CBS Sports, and the lack of control that I had over the final product was, to be honest, I still lose sleep over, right? Because we just have no control, none whatsoever. Like you kind of turn the keys of the castle over to these big time TV parts or big time TV companies, and in your hands off. And there's a part of that that's exciting, right? Because you're hands off. but it's terrifying at the same time. But partnering with Flow, we have more of a hands-on involvement, and we're able to control some of the production quality and kind of control some of the storylines. Whereas when you're dealing with some of these mainstream partners, you don't get that opportunity.
John Infield asked, have we decided on the sportsman program yet?
I believe we're going to announce that in 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. But we have three, someone maybe asked four about bracket sportsman categories.
Also
yeah.
earlier.
Limited participation, local bracket racing for sure. I'm a big believer. This is a little bit of a story. In April, I think it was, of 2005, I put on my first ever heads up drag race. This was a huge moment for me. It was interestingly called the Pro Outlaw Shootout Series at Eddyville Raceway Park.
That's really original.
Yeah, real original. The Pro Outlaw Shootout Series. My goal was to take outlaw drag racing and promote, like, and add a level of professionalism to
Wait a minute. Right? Wait a minute. We got a good comment. We got to jump in here.
Okay.
I always get the good names too. Teg Terbsky. Oh,
that's a great name.
has a comment. He wishes that Flo would just have monthly subscriptions, not have to pay for the whole year. Well,
you can now, my friend.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have like the whole script read in front of me, but yeah, they've gone to a monthly.
I thought your answer was gonna be a little longer than that. You can.
All right, ready? Send it to me, Jason.
Send it. Go.
Okay.
Hey, Teg, Wes Buck here on behalf of FlowRacing.com, and I want to let you know that the worldwide leader in sports live streaming is now available via a monthly subscription. So instead of having to pay for that entire year up front, guess what, brother? You and the rest of the Terbsky family can enjoy Flow Racing on a month-by-month basis. All you have to do is log on to flowracing.com, choose that monthly subscription option, and you can avoid spending $149.99 to enjoy all the drag racing you possibly can. I'd like to remind you, the Terbsky family, and everybody else watching online on the internet, that the Wes Buck Show is brought to you each and every week by way of Flow Racing, the aforementioned Flow Racing, who is now offering a monthly subscription option. But I want to let you know that if you're a drag racer, sounds like a hardcore drag racing fan, you got to get on board with our friends at Flow Racing. They are, again, the worldwide leader in sports live streaming, and they provide unlimited access to drag racing's biggest events like Donald Long's Lights Out, No Mercy, and the Sweet 16, the Drag Illustrated World Series of Pro Mod, PDRA, NMCA, Funny Car Chaos, World Cup Finals, Street Car Super Nationals, and much, much more. I tell you what, buddy, log on to flowracing.com right now and join the movement. It's a big deal.
Kaboom!
I've got tears. That script read might be the highlight of our Wes Buck Show season.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. I feel like we're kind of nuked today. I don't know why. I'm tired from the weekend.
Doesn't take that and turn that into some kind of advertisement or something, then you're missing the boat. Courtney, work on that, please.
I wonder if he's
not feeling good on a Monday. Are you
really Terbsky?
Your allergy.
Oh, Keith Haney's on here. Let me start over. Hold on. Keith, I tell you what, if there was a trophy we could give out for ball busters, it would most assuredly go to my friend Keith Haney up in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Just so everybody knows, flowracing.com also provides 24/7, 365 days a week access to all the stars and cars of the Midwest Drag Racing Series. You heard it here first. The pride and joy of Keith Haney. The Midwest Drag Racing Series available on flowracing.com. Check it out. Jim and Annie Whiteley, Stephen Whiteley, let's give a huge shout out to those guys. Big weekend, doubled up into St. Louis at Worldwide Technology Raceway Park. Congratulations to those guys. I bet that was a hell of a party in the Whiteley pits, right?
Coors Light everywhere.
Coors Light everywhere.
Love it.
There is Silver Bullet cans. Oh, my goodness.
Mark Mickey.
All over. Mark Mickey had a hell of a weekend. A longtime friend of ours here at Drag Illustrated. That car is a problem. I talked to Mark. That twin turbo Pro Mod, I think he made let me pull it up real quick. Let me find my texts.
We're getting reports now that all of our sponsors want a script read like that. So, yeah, you just...
Okay, hold on.
That's going to be problematic.
All right, hold on. Listen to this. Mark Mickey told me that he made 11 runs in competition zero aborted. Zero aborted runs and had a 365 average. Not too shabby for some transmission mechanics from Jefferson City, Missouri. I'm pretty impressed by these guys, man.
What do you go, 217 on that one pass?
I think
pass?
So.
Yeah.
Maybe 240. That thing's a hot rod, bro. Let's talk. We got a lot to cover here real quick. I do want to remind everybody real quick while I'm on the subject that each and every episode of the West Buck Show is brought to you by way of our friends at Stroud Safety. Stroud Safety is known for their top quality racing safety equipment, from drag chutes and seat belts to fire suits and blankets, all 100% made in America. Log on to StroudSafety.com today and make sure you tell them that we sent you. Some huge news coming out of Stroud Safety in the coming days. They've got a fantastic endorsement program that they've put together that I think is going to raise a lot of eyebrows amongst junior dragster racers around the world. So I'm super excited to share that news with you in the coming days. And speaking of safety, guys, how about our buddy Scott Palmer, longtime friend of the show here, had a really, really rough weekend at Mid-America Raceway in Kansas, behind the wheel of the legendary Studzilla, his top fuel-powered Studebaker Pro Mod, a very scary top-end incident where the aforementioned Studebaker went off the racing surface and tumbled. And fortunately, our buddy Scott is on the road to recovery following a surgery, a fairly significant surgery, I understand, on his wrist. But he is he's recovering. He's going to be okay. And I just want him to know that it's the entire drag racing community holds Scott Palmer, his entire team, Crystal, Rick, his son, Tyler, everybody involved in that circle. They mean so much to so many, and I'm so glad that he's okay. They make new race cars every week, but they certainly will never make another Scott Palmer. So I'm so glad to see our dear friend from South Missouri is on the mend, guys. That was a wild one, eh? I mean, he's just
dude, man.
He
the support, it was awesome to see the support, man. I mean, it's like there wasn't a single person, I feel like, in the drag racing community that wasn't offering support to him. And he's back. He's ready. I mean, he's already like working on the next thing.
He'll have a nitro burning Hemi stuffed in something by like probably noon on Friday.
He loved that thing, man.
I texted him like, you know, man, hey, let us know if you need anything. I hate to hear it. Hope you're on the. He texts me, hey, I'm gonna call you tomorrow. We gotta talk about Stampede of Speed. He's like,
that's the first thing Wes
ready to get back.
Well, I called JT and I said, hey, dude, we're gonna need to help Scott on this Stampede of Speed deal because he's gonna be all banged up. So we need to start figuring that out. And man, I just, Crystal, Scott's longtime girlfriend, I don't know if she's his common-law wife yet, but I'd say getting close. She called me on Friday, Saturday night, whenever it happened. Not all states have it. But it was like midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning, and she called to kind of give me an update. And she said something you hear all the time about the drag racing family. And she goes, it's in moments like this that you realize that's not bullshit. Like, that's a real thing. The drag racing community, the way this group responds in time of trial and tragedy is almost unbelievable. And I could tell that they were being lifted up by all these people on the internet and all these people around the world that care about Scott Palmer, like genuinely care about him, not like click like on his post, but appreciate what he does and resonate with the character that he is and wants to see him succeed. It was a cool thing. And I was actually really happy for them to hear, for her to reflect that, you know, she felt it. They felt this outpouring of support, and that can make a big difference, man. It really can.
Yep.
Yeah. Really glad that he's doing better. So
thank God. Right. This is a sketchy deal, man. I got to tell you, it goes back to like the courage that's required to do this stuff. I'm reminded of it every time I go to the racetrack because I pay attention, like seeing these drivers hug and kiss their children, their significant other, their father, their mom, whatever, all the group of people. I don't know. Maybe unless you've been in that position, like you've been the one fist bumping your dad or the one getting belted in, you maybe don't understand the severity of that whole situation, but pretty much everybody shuts that door and accepts the fact that it could be the last time they see their loved ones. It could be the last time that they do this. And I, again, I get chills talking about it because I think when we do something so frequently, we get a little desensitized to the severity of what's happening here. And we take for granted safety, because if you think about how far safety has come in our sport and how long it's been, I mean, think about, I mean, look at specifically Top Fuel and Funny Car Racing, right? How safe it's been for so long, and the way the poured seats and better belts and better everything and better fire systems and better walls and better everything has improved. And I do think that we just need to kind of remind ourselves. I don't think we need to wait until the sport reminds us, which it surely will from time to time, but we need to make the effort and take the time to remind ourselves of the significance and the severity of what it is we do every weekend, because we've seen it time and time again. You don't have to be going 300 miles an hour to get hurt by one of these things. You don't even have to be in one of them to be hurt by them. And I think that we would be wise, and I think it would help our sport as a whole, and it would elevate our sport as a whole if we would kind of lean in to some of that stuff and respect it maybe a touch more than the fan base oftentimes does.
We mentioned it last week, you know, that you know, he's sponsored by the PBR, and he's the real deal. He's the drag racing cowboy, you know, like,
oh, dude, Scott Palmer's the coolest dude alive. It was the funniest thing that I saw on the whole deal was I saw a post. It was like, oh, nobody post the video. And Scott replies, I'll post the video. And I thought, what a legend. Like, what did you say, Mike? Scott Palmer's the gift that keeps on giving.
And
he really is, man. I mean, because he's not bashful about this stuff. I mean, he's been right here on this program, and he has said that car is dangerous.
Yeah, and that's I think we're seeing that. Like, everyone's so shook up about it. I almost feel like Scott's very nonchalant. He's like, I mean, you saw that thing. You saw what I was doing. That was just a matter of time.
That son of a bitch nasty.
Yeah, that was just a matter of time till that happened.
Post saying he just posted it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Let's go.
But you're right though. And as far as the support for Scott, I feel like that's a guy that's been out there racing for quite a while now. But in the last few years, he's just taken on a whole new level and the new persona to me, and gotten to this point of being Scott Palmer that we know now. And I think that the support that he got, and like that story you told about Crystal, this is the first time they're realizing that. So don't get super big headed on us now, Scott. You know, now that you see all the support you got, and now you're
don't get ahead like Mike.
Yeah, don't see what happens to you, man. Don't do it. Stay humble.
Yeah, sure enough. It would appear that they just posted the video of. Yeah, we need to. I tell you what, man. I've seen this video, and it's a sketchy one.
Which one? The in car from J.R. Sandlin's car. That one is the wild one to me.
Seeing that thing tumble like that is just.
You got it, don't you, Wes? Load it up here.
Yeah. I got it somewhere here. Hold on. It's gonna take a second, probably.
I could probably do it.
Here I'm gonna. Do you have it? I think I sent it.
You sent it to me. Which one you want?
The one riding along on J.R. Sandlin's car, probably.
Okay, you guys go ahead and talk, and I'll do this.
Okay, you guys take care of that. Cool to see some match racing going on. Do you think that this will derail the Nitro Pro Mod thing for a while, Mike, or do you think Scott will have another one like next month?
I don't know, man. What do you think? Because that thing, like, if you watch that one video, they were still struggling with that thing and the way it was launching and everything. And I wonder maybe if he'll use this as an opportunity to take what he's learned and build something from the ground up that maybe is better designed or suited for. I really know nothing about running a Nitro motor in a Pro Mod, so I don't know exactly what you would do differently. But yeah, I hope that it's not the end of it, because that was just a cool sideshow, as he likes to call it. And
I think if a guy could, I think that if a guy would, I just think some of those things conflict. Like the problem, and Scott will tell you the same thing. Scott Palmer wants to run that car like a hot rod, right? Like, he's not going out there to make quote unquote exhibition runs. He wants to go out there and like set the world on fire. He wants to go fast. And I think, I mean, it kind of reminds me of, is this going to be one of these turning points where this movement, which obviously is fairly small, it's a couple of cars, a handful of cars, this Nitro Pro Mod movement, I wonder if it's going to skew more towards the, what was it called? The USFC Nitro Coupe movement, Super Chevy. Yeah. Super Chevy Nitro Coupe, where there's going to be like a percentage of Nitro where they cackle and maybe throw some header flames. Are we going to go? I hope not too, but I just wonder because the car looks unhappy.
Well, right? That was
like
dangerous. Watching it. That was dangerous too. Ask Bill Coleman about that.
Yeah. True.
You know, I mean that in that deal and it wasn't, at the time,
I don't know about the significance, how hard it is to work with Nitro. Like I've learned that that has been an educational experience for me going back to the pro race. I've never put on an event where we had nitromethane or where we had to store nitromethane. And you start like, this is a complicated process, man. I mean, you're getting certifications, you're having fence brought in, you're having full time 24 hour security. You've got to have all the fuel on the property. It has to be monitored constantly. You got to have certain people that have certain qualifications handling it. It's a really, really complicated thing. And to be honest, I think that's probably the reason we don't see more of this like experimental Nitro door slammer stuff.
Is well, also, just what about it, the performance dangerous. Of traditional blown alcohol combinations?
Yeah,
I think at the time, like back to the Nitro Coupes, they thought they were going to revolutionize the sport, or like that was the direction it was going to go. And we're going to have like ultra high performance, make a leap for what these pro mod cars can run. And I think quickly the technology of the traditional blown alcohol combination caught up and surpassed it. And then it just sort of went to the back burner from there. But with what Scott's doing is a whole different deal from a spectacle standpoint and the potential performance if he is able to get it hooked up. Let's roll that video.
JT, yeah, throw go with the first
one. We got two different angles here, so I'll go the first one here.
Okay.
Make sure it's not too loud.
Do the one outside the car first and then do the other one.
Yeah, do the one that's behind the Studebaker first.
You want the second one then? Yeah.
Let
me turn this down a little bit so it doesn't blow your ears out.
Oh, yeah, so you can see things are going very badly down there beyond the scoreboard.
What happened? I mean, what caused that? Do we know?
I think hit the wall, fuel cell exploded, and then he veers across track here. I'd say probably driving a Nitro Pro Mod mic.
Okay.
That's my guess. I'm not sure. Because you can see the things moving around a lot. Mm-hmm. And it looks, this was my point, it's unhappy from the get-go.
Yeah.
Like, look at the way it just dead, it stops the tire.
He's like,
what's that on the racetrack?
It's like when he gets off the throttle.
This right here?
It makes a
when
big
it goes
move.
Toward the wall.
Do you see that? Whatever that is. What
in
is
the
that
lower left hand corner right there?
Yeah,
there.
I don't know what that is. Where does it leave?
No, it's not there. There.
No.
Oh, it's bouncing off the wall.
Yeah.
Yeah, play it again.
Go back here a little bit there.
Oh, I don't know what that is.
It got, came across the track.
It came across the track. Yeah. So anyways, Scott gets into the wall down there, right? And now the car's in fuego. From what I've been told, he's, you know, along for the ride at this point, obviously. And JT, throw this other video up there now. This is a sketchy. Fast forward a little bit. This is the burnout. Turn the volume down. Can you turn it down a little bit?
Yep.
This.
Wow.
And how about J.R. Sandlin? He's got this thing, brakes, he's on the brakes, he's out the door, he's headed that direction. They're all headed that direction. What a great group of guys, my goodness. Scary, scary moment.
JR looked like he made a pretty decent pass there.
Yeah, he did. JT, throw that, play the first video again, because I wasn't paying attention to JR's car. What did it run?
I don't know. You couldn't see the score.
You can see it in the first video. Oh. Golly, that's sketchy.
Yeah, in the first video. Yeah. You can't see it, I don't think. Can you?
Oh, yeah, maybe. Yeah. Like a 432 or 422 or something.
422. It looks like a 432 in the other lane. Looks faster.
That just, it did look faster than that. But it just goes to show you like how much they're slipping the clutch, trying to get that thing just to move without, blowing the tires off. Really, holy moly. Again, I think those videos just leave me forever reminded of the terrifying nature of what we do and what we do every weekend. Because golly, you think about how many like incredible Top Fuel funny car runs we have over the course of a typical weekend. And to think that things like that don't routinely happen is pretty unbelievable if you really think about it, right? I mean, the amount of people that are involved in this sport, the varying experience of people in this sport, and the fact that we operate as safely as we do, I think is something this entire community should be really proud of. It speaks to the caliber of people that are out here like working on these cars, making these decisions, putting these things together. Really incredible thing. And I'm so thankful that Scott's okay. My gosh. And his courage to like show this stuff and like spread the message, like let people see what happened. I don't know. I think that's significant too, because we can't be bashful about these things, right? We've got to talk about them. We got to figure them out. We got to figure out what we're going to do next and how we're going to try to make sure that it never happens again. So
we'll have Scott on soon. As soon as he's feeling better, which would probably be, he'll probably call us right now and say he wants to come on this second.
Yeah, but no joke. Right?
Yeah, but we'll have him on soon to talk about it.
No, I would really, I'm very excited to have him get on here sometime soon. All right, guys, let's wrap this thing up. I just want to remind everybody, thank you guys all so much for being a part of this, for helping us spread the message, spread the gospel of drag racing. Again, it's easy to be excited on Friday, right? Qualifying under the lights. It's easy to be excited on Saturday and Sunday when we're drag racing, but it's keeping the conversation going and keeping the sport of drag racing at the forefront during the week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Those are the days that it's hard. And I can't tell you guys how much we appreciate your involvement in what we're doing, because it's not going to be me by myself. It's not going to be me and the guys on this show by ourselves. It's going to take all of us to take this sport to where it rightfully belongs. I truly believe drag racing is the great American motorsport, but it's high time that we all act that way and embrace that and recognize that that future, that is, that reality exists for this group, but it's not going to be hand delivered to us. It's not going to be given to us. It's something that we're going to have to go and make happen. Right? Go and take it. And that's what I'm so proud of, to have the participation that we have each and every week, and all the people that support Drag Illustrated Magazine, DragIllustrated.com, World Series of Pro Mod, this new event, the Pro Superstar Shootout, everything we're doing. I truly believe that we can leave this sport better than we found it. We can make significant change here. We can create a new economy, a new environment for all of us to better. Don't get it twisted, right? The World Series of Pro Mod, the Pro Superstar Shootout, that's the tip of the sword. But don't think that the grassroots and the weekend warriors and the heartblood of our motorsports aren't near and dear our hearts here at Drag Illustrated. And again, I just want to thank you guys for being a part of this. I want to give a huge shout out to all of our sponsors, Redline Synthetic Oil, Stroud Safety, Flow Racing, Aeromotive Fuel Systems, of course, our own Racer Club brand. Thank you guys for supporting this project. We got some big Racers Club news coming up. We got some big Stroud Safety news coming up. I think we got some big Redline Oil news coming up. We got a lot of stuff cooking. Thank you guys for being a part of this. Mike, JT, you guys got anything for me? Are we ready to?
That's it, man.
You got it, buddy.
Pull the chutes.
Hey, Paul, the show's weekly. Daily. Oh, my God. He said, should we do it daily?
Don't give him any ideas.
don't give me any ideas. Yeah, hell, I about knocked the whole computer over getting excited about that one. So, all right, let's feed the ducks.
All right, see you.
Talk soon, guys. Appreciate it.
Later.
Thanks, y'all.